Thank you, everybody, to for coming to the Sunday feast program at ISKCON ISV. The talk that I'm going to give today is just in line with what Srivas Pandit Prabhu was talking about, that miseries are Krishna's wake-up call. I'm reading from the 6th canto, 9th chapter, text 44. Atho isha jahi tvashtram grasantam bhuvanam trayam grashtani yena naha Krishna tejam si astrayudhani cha. Therefore, O Lord, O Supreme Controller, O Lord Krishna, please annihilate this dangerous demon Vritrasura, Tvashta's son, who has already swallowed all our weapons, our paraphernalia for fighting, and our strength and influence. But by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 15th and 16th verse, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama maya prataha jana asuram bhavam asrutam chaturvidha bhajante mam jnanam sukritan arjuna artho gijnasura artharti jnani cha bharatar sabha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is in search of knowledge of the Absolute. The four classes of neophyte devotees who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to offer devotional service because of material motivation are not pure devotees. But the advantage of for such materialistic devotees is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. Admitting that they have forgotten pure devotional service because of extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to His consideration whether to maintain them or annihilate them. Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinod Thakur sings, Marabi Rakhabi Yo Ichha Tohar. O Lord, I fully surrender unto your lotus feet. Now as you desire, you may protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. So this story is about Vritrasura attacking the demigods, and the demigods take shelter of the Supreme Lord and ask the Supreme Lord to rescue them from the demon. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has called Srimad Bhagavatam as the Amala Puran, meaning the spotless Puran, because Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all other kinds of religious practices and stresses on devotional service, leading up to the pure love of Radha and Krishna. All the instructions in this book gradually guide us towards obtaining that pure love for Krishna. So that's how it starts, from the very first verse, rejecting all other religious practices and enforcing devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam cuts the knot in our heart for material attachment and gives the highest liberation in this material world. So the demigods. So here in the purport, Prabhupada is saying that there are four kinds of devotees who surrender unto me. Of those who are materialistic devotees, they also try to surrender. They sometimes give up their material desire and become pure. So the demigods, they have so much of material opulence that it really becomes difficult for them to think of Krishna. And they are brought into this situation where they have no one else to take shelter of. in this material world, we people, we pray to the demigods for some kind of benefit in the material world. And the demigods, they are pleased with the sacrifice that we perform, and then they bestow us with the material benediction. But for the demigods, when they are in trouble, they have no one to take shelter of, because they cannot take shelter of each other, because they are all in the same situation. So they have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Now, because they are materialistic, they are, as Srivas Pandit Prabhu was saying, Sakama Karma and Nishkama Karma, they are practicing Sakama Karma. They are Karma Kanda devotees. I don't know if I'm using the right term here, but they are practicing Karma Yoga. And because they have materialistic desires in them, they don't completely surrender to the Supreme Lord. But when they are in a situation where they have no one else to take shelter of, at that time they go and take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then sometimes they give up all desires for material enjoyment and take the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that time they become pure devotees. That's why Srila Prabhupada says here that the four class of neophyte devotees who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to offer devotional service because of material motives are not pure devotees. But the advantage for such material devotees is that they sometimes give up their material desires and become pure. They give up their material desires and become pure. When the demigods are utterly helpless, they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in grief and with tears in their eyes, praying to the Lord, and thus they become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. They become almost pure devotees, free from material desires. Because what they're doing is, they have no one to take shelter of other than Supreme Lord. They go to Him, tears in their eyes, they are ready to give up their material desires, and in that state, they become pure devotees. That is actually what's preached in this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to rid ourselves of material attachment. And we have no one else to take shelter of but the Supreme Lord. And when one attains that state, then one becomes pure devotee of the Lord. In contrast to that, let's take the story of Vitrasur, the case of Vitrasur. When we talk of devotees, all the examples that are given in Srimad Bhagavatam about devotees, it's like their demeanor, the family that they are born in, and or the behavior, their association that they have, they're all conducive to devotional service. But Vritrasura was born in the family of demons. Not just that, his task was to annihilate the demigods. But he's considered to be the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. His features are nowhere close to what the other devotees are described as in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is said to be as huge as a black mountain. And he did not have japa beads in his hand. He was holding a trident in his hand. And he had taken birth with the purpose of defeating the demigods. But the difference here is that he had taken birth for the purpose of satisfying the inconceivable desire of the Lord. It was not his desire to annihilate the demigods, but it was just he was just performing his duty of the inconceivable desire of the Supreme Lord. We get to know that when we go through this story of Vritrasura. Because on one hand we have the demigod Indra, who has this material desire. As Srivas Pandit Prabhu was also saying, if he sees a sage who is performing severe austerities, who can challenge Indra's position, Indra becomes nervous. But Vritrasura, he had nothing else, no other shelter to take off other than the Supreme Lord. And when at the time of his death, he reveals that he is completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. There was no other desire in him than that. The same is what we have to aspire to attain. Just like the gopis, they had when they left their home, their family, the husband, sons, everyone, and took off to the forest to meet with Krishna, they did not care about if they will be accepted back in the family when they come back. They just did not think about that. They just left, and they dressed up well for the pleasure of Krishna. It's not because they thought, hey, I'll look better when I dress up well and decorate myself. No, it was just for the pleasure of Krishna that they dressed up, and then they left to the forest. Even Kunti Maharani, when she had to go through so much of difficulties, something like where she is seeing that her children are fighting with each other. Karna hates the Pandavas, and the Pandavas hated Krishna. And Kunti could do just nothing but weep in silence. In that situation, she just... No parent can actually see their children fight with each other. It's not something that any parent would like. But that is what Kunti had to see, and she just had to bear it. And apart from that, the Pandavas, they were banished from the kingdom. There were numerous plots to murder them. And Kunti, in the end, she just prays that no matter what situation that we were in, all I desire is to have unflinching, unmotivated devotional service to you. No, let these difficulties come again and again. I have no other desire but to have unflinching, unmotivated devotional service to you. So that's the desire that one should try to attain. And Vritrasura was of the same category. When you take up story of Vritrasura, he was... do you know his name in his previous life? Chitraketu. So he was King Chitraketu in his previous life. And he came in this big dynasty of great kings. And thousands of years, these kings in his family have ruled, and they have been able to give birth to a son who would take up who would continue the dynasty, and so on and so forth. But Chitraketu was in so much despair that that he did not have a son and who can continue the dynasty. So it was like, for example, Srila Prabhupada, when he came here with the motive of preaching Krishna consciousness that was preached by his spiritual master to him. He had to go through so much of difficulties. He had several heart attacks from 1965 to 1977. Every year, almost every year, there was something that was life-threatening. To the extent that he even wrote the Krishna book before he could finish Srimad Bhagavatam, because he, at numerous times, he said that he wasn't sure if he'll be able to live until he finishes the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he wrote the Krishna book first before he reached 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Chitraketu similarly was in so much of anxiety that he did not have a son who can continue his dynasty. He had numerous queens, and none of them could give him a son. And then finally there was one queen who gave him a son, and then he was so attached to that son that he made this mistake of giving special favor to the queen, because she was breastfeeding him and she was taking care of him. And the other queens, they were also good people. They were all from good families, and they were nice people. But there was this envy when they saw that King Chitraketu was taking care of the queen who gave birth to the son more than the others. There was envy in them, and they plotted to kill the son of kill the baby. It is this envy that actually, it's not their fault actually. It's something that everyone has. The very reason why we are all in this material world is this, is because of this envy. Is this the desire to enjoy? Because everything belongs to Krishna, when we have this desire to enjoy, we are actually envious of Krishna. It is this desire that brought us into this material world, and it is this desire, it is this envy that is keeping us in this material world. So the queens, they envied the son of envied the queen who gave birth to the child, and Chitraketu made this mistake of giving favor to this queen than the others, and of course the other queens plotted and killed the baby, and that was devastating for the king and the queen. For weeks and months, the king just couldn't recover. He has had many instances where sages would come to his palace and give instructions, and he would listen. But never was there a chance when he would listen to his son, who is going to be revived by the two sages, Narada and there was one more rishi who came, who revived the son, and the child spoke spiritual knowledge. And never did he actually get a chance to listen to the sages' instructions like he did to the son, to this boy, the child who was revived. And the child, he was revived, and he said, "Dear father, you are in Maya. You are in ignorance. Neither am I your son. I am actually the son of Krishna. I am not your son. And neither are you my father." The similar instance happens to many people. Even Bharat Maharaj, like Srivast Pandit Prabhu was talking about. He was practicing severe austerities, and then this deer took away all his practice, all his yoga practice, and he had to take birth again as a deer to realize his folly. And so similarly, Chitraketu also. And also the story of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. What did he not do to meet with what's her name? Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who was he trying to meet with? Chintamani, yeah, right. Yeah. So to try to meet with Chintamani, he crossed the river floating on a corpse. He was swinging from tree to tree holding on a snake. When he reached there, he was just completely soiled. And when he reached Chintamani's house, she rejected him, saying that all those effort that you have put to see me, if you have put in achieving Krishna, you would have definitely got success. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he has had numerous association with sages, but that did not strike him. This time it really hurt him because there is no. It's also said that more than happiness, when there is suffering, that's when you really learn. That's how this material world is. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. This is a place of misery, because when there is happiness, you don't really realize it. But when there is distress, it really hurts. That really hurts the heart. So was the case with Bilwa Mangal Thakur. It really hurt him when she rejected him. And the instructions that she gave him, he took it to heart. And that's when he realized, that's right. I mean, all the effort that I had, if I had put it in Krishna, I would have made so much progress. Chitraketu also, he realized that. And it so happened that once he was cursed by Parvati. Now, Parvati is not like the next door lady who gets mad at us if our Mangalarti is too loud. She was, and her curse is really going to matter when she curses. It's not like, okay, let me go to the Pandit and see if this curse is really going to effect or not. No, when Parvati curses, it really matters. And she cursed him that, go to hell. You'll be born as a demon in your next life. And Chitraketu, he was self-realized at that point. And he welcomed that curse, saying that, thank you for giving me this opportunity to dwell in hell. But my desire is that I always think of the Supreme Lord at every time. Shiva was very impressed with that. This is what is required. This is the message in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. No matter what situation you are in, you should always be thinking of the Supreme Lord and desiring for His devotional service. And that is what Srila Prabhupada also says here. Admitting that they have forgotten pure devotional service because of extensive material opportunities, they fully surrender to the Lord, leaving to His consideration whether to maintain them or to annihilate them. No matter what my situation is, all I desire is that I have pure devotional service for the Supreme Lord. Such surrender is necessary. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, if you take the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had 10 children, wife and a job. And his devotional service is exemplary. And he is saying that, O Lord, I fully surrender unto your lotus feet. Now, as you desire, you may protect me or annihilate me. You have the full right to do either. So, no matter what situation you are in, your desire should be to fully to have pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And that surrender should be there in our hearts to be able to understand and practice the instructions in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says that there are four types of devotees who surrender unto me. Of those, Prabhupada says that those who are materialistic are not really pure devotees. But then, when they have nowhere else to go, that at that point they surrender unto me, and that gives them a chance to become pure devotees of the Lord. Because at that point they are giving up their desire. So they're giving up their envy of wanting to enjoy something separate from the Lord. When we are all in that situation where we give up this desire for material enjoyment, and all that we have, we give it in service of the Lord, Krishna will definitely take notice of that. We may aspire for a very good reputation position. We may not like when there is dishonor. You may not like it when you lose your wealth. But no matter what situation you are in, if you are able to think of the Lord so constantly, that is what Krishna is pleased with. And that is what all the chapters of all the stories in Srimad Bhagavatam is also pointing to. So here, when Indra kills Vritrasur, Vritrasur is saying that I have nothing else. I have no desire to enjoy this material world. All I have desire for is the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Whereas Indra, there was this time when his friend Satsvarup, who was a dear friend of his, but he was detached. Satsvarup did not make friends with the demigods or the demons, and there was a sacrifice that he was involved in, and for the prosperity of the demigods. But in that process, he also made an offering for the demons, because that was his nature. He did not do it. He did not really have friendship with the demigods nor the demons. He was equal to all. And so he made an offering to the demons as well. But Indra did not like that. Indra felt challenged. He there was insecurity in him. He felt his position challenged. And so he cut all the four heads of Satswarup. Not Satswarup, Vishwarup. Vishwarup. So that is that's the example of devotees who are materially motivated. There is desire for material enjoyment also. And there is also devotional service performed by them. The gopis, on the other hand, again, as I was saying, that they did not have any desire for material enjoyment. They did not even care that they would be accepted or rejected by their family when they come back. And they just took off to the forest, completely taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of the ISKCON movement itself, to cultivate that devotional service in us. We have to... devotional service is the end and the means. So we, to attain devotional service, we practice devotional service. And when we all come together and chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we certainly make progress. And that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada had put in so much effort in preaching Krishna consciousness to the Western world and put in so much effort in spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Now, when we talk of enjoyment, Srila Prabhupada had built so many beautiful temples. He had inspired devotees to build so many beautiful temples, beautiful deities. Does that mean that we should not be enjoying? Should we not enjoy seeing the beautiful deities, dressing them up nicely, offering nice prasadam to them, nice bhoga to them, and having prasadam? No, not really. Krishna likes that we are pleased. Krishna likes it that we are also pleased. The devotees are pleased by serving him, by coming to the temple, dressing up the deities, having darshan, having prasadam. Krishna likes that too. But it should not be with the sense of enjoyment that we should be doing all the activities. It should be for the pleasure of Krishna. When we have this tendency of enjoying, that is what's called envy, which is to enjoy separate from Krishna. And that is the reason why we are in this material world. And that's the reason why we continue to be here. We take birth in this material world. So to get rid of that, we practice devotion service and try to dovetail our lives such that our life is a service to the Supreme Lord. And we are constantly thinking of Him. And Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakta mad yajimam namaskuru mame vaishasi yukta evam same yukta atma mataha. That constantly think of me, offer service unto me, offer obeisances to me, think of me all the time. And in that mood, you'll come to me without fail. 5:30. Okay. After that, do we continue or? We'll continue, okay. So, can I switch to bhajan kirtan now? It's fine, okay. So, that's the purpose of the ISKCON movement, where devotees can come together and chant together the glories of the Supreme Lord, hear about his pastimes. And have this environment where one can very nicely develop Krishna consciousness. So with that, let's chant some Maha Mantra, let's chant some bhajans and also sing Maha Mantra.